If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. We are concluding our series of sermons that we've been talking about the parables of Jesus, and we've entitled this "The Stories That That Changed the World." And of all the parables that Jesus told, this is the only parable that Jesus said, "If you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of them." So it's kind of a wake up, really, to say, all right, you might want to really dive into this one and see what it's saying, because if you don't get this one, all the others kind of are off the table as well. And so as we discuss this together, as we talk about this together, and we try to figure out what Jesus is saying, thankfully for us, this parable is one that Jesus explains to us. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to see how that applies to our lives today, because when we do that, when we understand what Jesus is saying to us today, and we understand what he's saying to us in the other parables, when we understand what he's saying to us in all of his word, it has the power, it has the ability to change the way that we see our lives. It has the power and the ability to change the way that we see our world. It has the power to change the way that we live out our lives. And so we're looking at a story in Mark's gospel, and this is a point in Jesus' life when Jesus is gaining quite the following now, and people were hearing about this guy that's going around and teaching, and things have been said, like, he teaches like no one who's ever taught before, no one they've ever heard before, and not only that, but he can cast out demons, and he can heal the sick, and he's somebody who, when the religious leaders heard him, they got a little nervous because he was very good at calling them out and challenging the status quo, and people would come asking, what's he going to do next? What's he going to talk about next? I wonder what wise words he's going to say this time that's going to make us walk away thinking, what in the world did he just say? Well, that's where we're at today in chapter 4 of Mark. It says this, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat out in it on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now I want you to imagine for a moment, you are sitting there and Jesus is teaching, you're a part of the crowd, you're one of these people, and Jesus was saying, here, I want to teach you some things about life, and he starts to tell this story, and you're waiting, because you've heard so many stories, you're waiting for this mind-blowing thing to happen, right? And so you're sitting there kind of on the edge of your seat, and Jesus is starting to teach, and he starts out by saying, "All right, there's this farmer. He throws out some seed." And you're kind of sitting there going, okay, all right. I understand what that's about. I've seen that before. Okay, Jesus, keep going. And he tells the story. And then he says, "The seed that landed on good soil grew and it bore fruit. And those who should hear, listen, they should hear this and they should understand this." And then he leaves. All right? And so these people are sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for that aha moment. And Jesus basically says, "All right, whoever can hear this should understand it." And then he leaves. I can imagine just sitting there in the crowd. Have you ever heard about a movie that came out and you were so stoked to see this movie and you just couldn't wait? You even pre-ordered your ticket and you show up to the movie and you sit there and you go, "That's it?" Anybody done that before? I got to be honest, I did that with Dumb and Dumber, okay? I had heard how funny Dumb and Dumber was, and I just couldn't wait to go see that. And I went to the movie theater, and Stacy and I, we were living in Cincinnati at the time. We went to the movie theater, and I just sit there, and I go, "That is the dumbest movie I've ever seen in my life." And then it came out on video, and I watched it with the guys. And then it became the funniest movie I've ever seen in my life. Who's with me on it? Any guy with? There's just certain things. Well, these guys here are kind of sitting there and they're listening to Jesus teach, but I don't know if they had that moment, that dumb and dumber moment. Well, maybe they did have a dumb and dumber moment, but not in the way I had a dumb and dumber moment. Maybe they kind of, you know, just walked away saying, I didn't really understand that, okay? And the Bible even says the people heard that, they went home, but it says some, not all of them, some still continue to follow Jesus. And we pick up in verse 10, and it says when they were alone, and so what this means is the people that had continued to follow Jesus, when Jesus was alone with just a few more people, not the big crowd that he had earlier, so there's some people that continue to follow, there's the 12, they asked him about these parables. And it's kind of one of those moments, you know, imagine you're with your spouse or you're with someone at work and you know you're supposed to know the answer to something, but you really don't remember what you're supposed to know the answer to. Am I preaching to anybody right now? But you don't want the person to know that you don't know what you're supposed to know. But you pretend like you know what the other person thinks you ought to know. Has anybody ever played that game before? And so I think this is where Peter's at. Peter's one of Jesus' closest followers. I just kind of imagine him coming up to Jesus and saying, Jesus, great parables today. Man, those are really good. That one about the farmer, that was just great. But I got to tell you, James and John is over here and they don't really understand what. So Jesus, can you kind of tell us, you know how those brothers are? They're always arguing over who's going to be the better one anyway. Can you kind of explain what you're talking about there? I kind of imagine this is the setting here. And Jesus, and I can't back that up biblically. That's just a feeling that I have. But Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So when I first look at that, does anybody else look at that passage and go, otherwise, they might turn their lives around and be forgiven? Isn't that what you want? You know, and that's kind of a head scratcher to me. That doesn't really mesh with my idea of who I thought Jesus was. It actually, you know, it has troubled me a little bit until I dive in and really see what is happening here. I think this is one of those moments where you just kind of got to go deeper. And what Jesus is doing here is he's quoting the prophets of the Old Testament. You know, God would send prophets into these nations, and he would have the prophet say, hey, you know what, guys, you're headed in the wrong direction. If you don't turn your lives around, your lives are going to be ruined. They're going to be destroyed. If you don't change your lives, trouble's coming, judgment is coming. Basically, they're saying you're on the wrong path. Things aren't going to go well for you if you don't change. Isaiah was sent to Israel during a time when Israel's kings were really not following God very well. They had abandoned God pretty much, and God is saying to Isaiah, go say to the people, listen intently, but don't understand. Look carefully, but don't comprehend. This is the same thing that Jesus is doing here in this parable. And so when the prophet Isaiah would go, he would deliver this harsh message that challenged people to change their lives, and he would tell them something that the people didn't want to hear, but he knew that if they would listen to it, it would change their lives. How many of you have ever been having a bad day and you know you're having one of those bad days? You're in a bad mood, maybe because of circumstances that are going on, and you know you need to change your attitude, but someone comes up to you and says, you know, you really ought to change your attitude today. How does that set with you? You know, not very well. At least it doesn't with me. I'm kind of, you know, I don't know, a little bit stubborn like that, I guess. And sometimes I have bad days, but I don't like to be told that I'm having a bad day. Can I get an amen to that? Is anybody listening? Anybody with me on it? Okay, very good. I think this is kind of what's going on with the prophets. Okay? So the prophets go to these nations and they tell this message, you're doing something wrong. And you need to change. No? Oftentimes the people that heard these messages, they were so set in their ways, it didn't matter what they were being told, they weren't going to listen to it. You know, And they were going to do what they were going to do, but there was always this option. You can turn back to God. You can change your ways. You don't have to continue on the path that you're on. And we see this many times throughout Scripture. We see the prophets saying this, not only to the nation of Israel, but to others. We know the story of Jonah and the big fish, right? We like to, when we say Jonah, even people who don't know much about the Bible, people who don't go to church, you know, you talk about Jonah, and they either, you know, talk about a whale, even though it wasn't a whale, it was a big special fish. The Bible never calls it a whale, but that's a whole other sermon. And so we think that's what the story's about, right? Really, the story isn't about the fish, even though that's one of the details. The story is about the prophet Jonah going to Nineveh and saying, listen, you need to hear what I've got to say. You need to change your ways. And if you don't, judgment is coming. But the deeper reason for this story of Jonah is to show the love and the mercy and the grace of God that if you turn around from what you're doing, you can be saved. And so Jesus, when he's teaching like this, that's what he's doing. He's saying, listen, I've come to tell you about this new way of life that if you turn around, if you listen to what I'm saying, if you really hear what I'm saying and you change your ways, you can be saved. But here's the deal. He knew that people didn't want to change. He knew that the people didn't really want to hear this. Yeah. Maybe they wanted to hear the news about what he was going to do. Maybe they wanted to hear the news about another miracle he was going to perform. Maybe they wanted to hear more about, okay, when are we going to start building this kingdom that you've been talking about, the prophets have been talking about. But like the prophets, Jesus came to proclaim this new kingdom. He came to give us an invitation to a new way of life. But the people who listen to it, they have to respond. And so with that in mind, let's look at that parable again through the lens of the prophets. And when we do that, I think it sheds new light to what Jesus might be saying. He's giving us an invitation as well. Are we going to listen to what he's saying? Are we going to be like those nations who didn't listen to the prophets? Okay. Will we hear? Will we respond? And so with that in mind, look at verse 14. Jesus says, the farmer sows the word. And when it talks about the word, basically, that's Jesus' message to the people. And that message is, God's kingdom is here. Come follow me. Be a part of this kingdom. Okay? Now, an interesting thing that I didn't mention earlier was when the author of Mark wrote this parable, when he recorded this parable that Jesus told, he used a Greek word to describe the people who were sitting and listening to Jesus. And in the Greek, he's actually describing the types of places where the people are sitting and listening. So the people are sitting down on a path, and some are sitting in some rocky places, and some are sitting in some good places. And so Jesus uses this parable to say, just like what you're sitting on right now or what you're standing on right now, there's all these different types of soil. So he uses it as a great object lesson. And so here's what he says. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. When you hear Jesus describe this parable, what's he focusing on? He's focusing on the soil. He's focusing on how the soil receives the seed. And I think it's interesting to note that in all of the soils that Jesus talks about, all of them grow but one. All of them are made to grow but one. And so I think for years we've looked at this parable the wrong way. We think we're the ones that are supposed to, and we are to a degree, but we think we're the ones who are supposed to we're supposed to sow the seed and we're supposed to help make it grow and lead other people to Jesus. That's one layer of it. But I think another layer of it is this. Are you going to allow the seed to grow in you? Do you have the right kind of soil to let that seed grow in you? Are you going to let me? I think Jesus is saying to us, are you going to let me plant my word, my truth in you? Are you going to allow it to grow and come to fruition, produce a crop, and lead others to me? Are you just going to keep doing your own thing? With the time we have left, it's not the goal isn't just about growth. You know, all the soils, we see that it grows. The goal is fruit. It's God's word to come through. It's to bear fruit. But what is that fruit? Well, if we see the word of God's kingdom, the fruit would be lives that reflect that kingdom. That's the fruit. What Jesus is wanting to see is, I know you're here at church and I know you're worshiping me, but when you leave this place, is the seed growing in you? Is it producing fruit? And when you walk out of this place, are people seeing the kingdom of God in you? And so what the parable really forces us to ask ourselves is this: is the seed going to grow? Am I going to let it grow in me? Am I going to let it bear fruit? In other words, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? Jesus says, this is the meaning of the seed that fell on the path. When the word is scattered and people hear it, right away Satan comes and steals the word that was planted in them. So the path, if you will, when we think about it, is those of us who are set in our ways. You know, we've just been on this path for so long, and it's worn down, and it's kind of crusted over a little bit, and it's kind of hard, and we're just kind of set in our ways. We've been on this path doing what we've been doing for so long, we're probably not going to change what we're doing. So the path equals the fact that we are set in our ways. And what that might look like in our lives for those of us today is this. Yeah, I know I'm here in church this morning, but I don't really want to be here. Mom, Dad made me come. No. I'm just here because my spouse wants me to be here. You know what? I come because I like the social aspect of it. I love feeling connected. But all this stuff that you're saying about Jesus and all these miracles, I don't know if I can really buy into all that or not. I think the path that Jesus is talking about is something where we just show up, but then we go home and we go back to life as if it's just a normal, nothing's changed. We're just kind of walking along this path, and the word, the seed has not affected our lives, and we've even become hardened over time. Now, if this is you, here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to encourage you this week to take some time to ask questions for yourself. Take some time to think about what you're seeing or what you're experiencing here in this service and ask, is there something behind what Ron's saying? Is there something behind the word that he's preaching? Is there something that's really true there? Look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Investigate the claims of Jesus and see if it's not true for yourself. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. Satan's going to, he's going to start doing his work on you, and he's going to prevent you from doing that. But I want you to start trying, and I want you to start learning and growing yourself. I honestly think that the path that Jesus is talking about here is one of the biggest dangers for lifelong church attendees, because we just kind of get set in our ways. And we just show up, and we go through the motions. We have the routine down. We've heard a lot of things down through the years. We've heard the same old stories over and over and over again, and we sometimes don't choose to listen to it with fresh ears, and it's easy for us to become numb, and we just check off the box, or we check out completely, not actually letting God's Word sink into our lives. Are you the kind of soil that's like the path? If it is, here's a couple things I want to challenge you to do. Number one is this: find somebody to mentor. Find somebody for you to pour into, to teach them about what it means to follow Jesus. Share with them what Jesus has meant to you down through the years, what it means to prepare your heart to let God's Spirit grow in you. I think if you do that, if you choose a younger person to come alongside and help mentor them and help them to grow, that's going to reignite your passion for the Word. It's going to reignite your passion for serving the Lord. And as you see the excitement of this young person coming to learn things and know things, it's going to excite you as well. Find somebody to mentor. I know I didn't plan to even mention this, but as I look out across the congregation today, I know it's exciting for Kendall to see three of his ball players here. And you want to see something that really excites somebody. You know that you've had an influence on somebody's lives. They show up, they start to follow the Lord, and they start to grow. When that happens, you get excited and you start to grow as well. You know? And one of these days, Kendall's going to be mature if he keeps doing that. That's going to be great. Second thing, how many more ball players are there? How many is it going to take? Yeah. Second thing, switch up your spiritual practices. Don't just keep going through the motions. Don't just keep doing the same old thing over and over again. Maybe you're somebody who always reads your Bible. You always do it in the same way every day. Maybe do something different. Shake it up a little bit. Maybe listen to it through your phone or maybe as you're driving in your car, maybe an audio book or let somebody else maybe on a recording read it to you. I think you'll hear it in a new way than when you read it. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but some of these dramatized readings as well. Has anybody ever listened to some of those dramatized readings of the Bible where Charlton Heston, where like he's reading from the Old Testament and you actually think it's Moses because he was Moses in the movie, you know? And so you just like you're hearing this, it's like, wow, Moses is really saying this. But really the dramatic readings can really make you think about what is being said. Find some podcasts, maybe just start praying the Psalms. Mix it up a little bit, switch things up a little bit, and I think that can help you as well. Now, the next thing is the rocky soil, and that represents those who have experienced trouble and have fallen away. They experience distress or they experience abuse, particularly because of the Word. They're undergoing scrutiny or they're undergoing persecution because they follow Jesus. You know? I kind of think about this one. I think a little bit about summer vacation. Do you remember what it was like as a kid? You're getting ready to go on a summer vacation. You're getting out of school. You've been excited. You're counting down the days, how many days you got left before school's out, and you're counting them down. A summer break is here, and you're just ready for months of fun and excitement. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, man, I got to get a summer job. You know, or maybe even, oh, my friends are out of town. I don't have anything to do. My friends are gone. I'm just going to sit around and watch Price is Right every day. You know, maybe that's something to... You start out with this excitement and you have this joy, but then all of a sudden that joy just kind of goes away. What this could be like in your life is maybe you went to camp and you gave your life to Christ at church camp. You were baptized into Christ. Or maybe you were on a retreat, or you were at a revival, and you walked away from that, and you were just so pumped up. You were so excited about Jesus like never before. Maybe you heard a sermon that really spoke to you. You got baptized, and you're ready to take on the world. But then life hits, and life's hard. Can I get an amen to that? You lose your job. Somebody that you care about, someone that's close to you gets sick, maybe even passes away. Or maybe you've changed because of your commitment to Christ, but none of your friends have changed. And so you kind of get drugged back into that old way of living your life. I think for my own life, and I think probably a lot of you can relate to this, you're that rocky soil sometimes, you know? And that's one of the most difficult places to be. But I'm telling you, that rocky soil is an opportunity to dig deeper. And this is what I want to challenge you to do. I want you, if you find yourself in this place, this type of soil, I want you to take a couple steps and start digging deeper roots, okay? Dig deeper. That's the first thing. Here's one way you can do that. If you don't have a small group, if you're not a part of one, would you try to find one and get in one? If you don't know of any, there's three or four that meet right now. We need many more. We need many hosts. This is the best way to experience life together is through a small group. If you don't know of one, start one. If you're in a small group, share where you are and how you're feeling with them and allow those people in your small group to come alongside you so that you grow and they can help to lift you up. Dig deeper. Go to Bible study at 9 o'clock. Don't just show up for worship at 10. Come to Bible study at 9 o'clock. Dig deeper. Get in the trenches with the people in your Sunday school class. Third one is this. The thorny plant. The thorny plant are those who allow other things to get in the way. Jesus says, these are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of this life, the appeal for wealth, the appeal for things, maybe fame, they kind of choke out the word, and the word isn't able to bear fruit because there's so many other distractions in your life that's choking it out. And when I read this description, it hurts because I find myself in this one sometimes. And here's what it can look like for some of you, you know. Okay, Ron, you're going to stand up there and say, join a small group. That's great, but you don't understand. I'm really, really busy. I want to start in a small group, but I've got a really busy schedule. I want to start serving, but many times the weekends, what happens on the weekends, kind of my time, and I don't know if I really have the time to commit to that. I want to make faith a priority, but man, my kids are so involved in activities on the weekend. You know, this is the one that we could tagline, comma, but, okay? Comma, but. I love church, comma, but I got other things going on. I'm busy. I really like what Jesus is saying in His Word. It means a lot to me, comma, but, no? I think we could also call this the soil of priorities. No? Jesus does not want your lip service as to what you say you believe or what you say you love if you're not willing to back it up with your actions, just don't say it. No? It's a soil of priorities. Do we even have space in our lives for Jesus? We're just gonna play the game. If this is you, here's my challenge. Take your to-do list and bring it to God. Take your to-do list, bring it to God. Ask Him, God, help me see my everyday to-do list as something that can be an act of worship. Help me to see if this is something that I can do that includes you, not apart from you. The Bible says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. So I think as long as it's not sin, anything that you do can be an act of worship. You can include God in just about everything that you do as long as it's not sin, because He's not going to have any part of that, right? But whatever you're doing, make sure it's with Him, not apart from Him. Another thing you can do is take your calendar and actually, and I didn't put this one on the screen, but write this down. You could take your calendar and schedule time to be with God. Okay? Whether that's by yourself, whether that's with your family, and don't let anything interrupt that. Just like you might say, hey, I've got a 10 o'clock Tuesday morning with such and such, and I can't miss that. You can make an appointment with the Creator of the universe and your schedules. Do it. I think you'll be surprised if you write that in on your schedule, how that's going to keep you on the right path. The final soil is the good soil, and that's the soil that we all hope we are. Jesus said the good soil is what we should be striving for. Others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So the good soil is soil that creates space for God's seed to come and to grow. And this is how it happens. Jesus said two words: it hears and it embraces. So you hear the word and you embrace the word. You remember the first time you learned how to swim? If you learned how to swim, more than likely this is how it happened. First step was, well, you go to a swimming pool, right, or a lake or something. You got to have some water. If you're going to swim, you got to have water. That one's obvious, right? I think we all got that one. The next part of that is you get into the water somehow, but maybe you're like my dad tried to do with me until my mom stopped him. And that's, dad had me by the hand and by the foot, and he was ready to swing me right out into the creek, just going to let me fly. And I'm crying. I'm like, Sonny, put him down. So she saved my life. But some of you probably, you kind of eased into the water, maybe slid into the water a little bit. If you had lessons, they put your face down in the water and learn to blow bubbles and then maybe learn to float and do all these different things. And so basically, after that, you start kicking and then, you know, you add the arms. And before you know it, you're able to swim. So the concept is this. They teach you one thing, you learn it, you embrace it, you apply it, and then you go to the next step. I think the same thing goes for our spiritual lives if we want to be good soil. Listen to the word of God, okay? Embrace it, learn it, embrace it, apply it, go on to the next step. People were asking Jesus to explain this parable. Jesus, explain this. How do we understand this? You know, and Jesus is saying, it's easy. If you hear it, understand it. How do you understand it? Accept it. Embrace it. Apply it to your lives. I think that's the core of following Jesus, is this idea of actually listen to what Jesus is trying to say to you in His Word. Don't just listen to what I'm saying up here. Guys, listen. If you don't get anything else out of this morning, I think you'll all amen this. I'm a sinful, fallen, oftentimes wrong person. Dig deep and listen to what Jesus is saying and embrace it and move forward with Jesus in your life. The good soil hears the words of Jesus and applies it. God makes it grow. God bears the fruit in our lives. And that's the way it's been going for 2,000 years. People hearing God's word about the kingdom, accepting God's word that says, if you want to become a Christian, you need to confess Jesus as the Christ and repent of your sins, and you need to be baptized into Him for the washing away of your sins, and then you need to grow. You need to allow that you need to become soil that produces a lot of fruit. You need to be that good soil. You need to strive for that. Maybe some of you are that good soil. Maybe some of you are the path. Some's rocky. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. Only you know that. But what I want to encourage you to do today is understand where you're at and grow, change what you need to change, to produce the fruit that Jesus is trying to produce in you. Maybe you're here today, you've never made that decision initially to follow Jesus, make Him the Lord of your life. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. We're going to sing a song of decision this morning. And I want you to, as we're playing this song, and Kendall will be down front here to meet you, if you have a need this morning. But as we're playing this song, I really want you to ask yourself, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Ask yourself, what kind of soil am I? What do I need to do differently to produce what Jesus is trying to produce in my life? Let's stand together.